Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
A major attack on Iran. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu confirming this morning's strike targeted Iran's main enrichment facility and nuclear scientists working on Iran's nuclear program. The attack marking a dramatic escalation that not only increases the chance of war, but also expands the long-running conflict in the region. NBC's...
Yeah, this is a big deal. This is the Israelis basically saying, you know, we are not obligated by the rules of war or ethics to wait until Iran has a nuclear weapon and decides to try it out for the first time on us. They don't need that many in order to do what they have said repeatedly they would love to do, which is to see us wiped off the map. They have taken action in this regard through their proxies. The, you know, Hamas is funded by Iran. The Houthis are funded by Iran. They're sourced by Iran. Hezbollah, you know, all of the enemies, the H enemies around the region are all supported by Iran. We don't need to wait for them before we act. We don't, you know, we don't need to wait for Iran to attack us. We can preemptively disable their nuclear capabilities.
Away, he also said that among the targets were Iran's main nuclear enrichment facility, as well as Iranian scientists working on the nuclear program. But according to the Iranian state media, there were other high-level targets, including Hossein Salami, the commander-in-chief of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, and Mohammad Hossein Bagheri, the commander of Iran's armed forces, so the Iranian military top commander.
So they've killed at least one of them, and of course, as you would expect to hear from Benjamin Netanyahu, there was a, I guess pre-taped, I think, but anyway, a video released as soon as the attacks were ongoing to explain the justification behind them.
For many days.
For decades, the tyrants of Tehran have brazenly, openly called for Israel's destruction. They've backed up their genocidal rhetoric with a program to develop nuclear weapons. In recent years, Iran has produced enough highly enriched uranium for 9 atom bombs. 9. In recent months, Iran has taken steps that it has never taken before, steps to weaponize this enriched uranium. And if not stopped, Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. This is a clear and present danger to Israel's very survival.
Now, one thing that this is going to has already been described as, I think the NBC anchor described it this way, as an escalation of warfare. That itself is debatable, okay? Because what the Israelis would say is, no. This is a preventative measure against an escalation of war. Nuclear war, that's the escalation. That's the existential threat. That is the thing which we are always worried about as the only Jewish nation on the world that has, in the world that has always been under attack since the beginning, all the time. So we have to be worried about that. That's the escalation. And if they continue pursuing a nuclear program, which could easily become a nuclear weapons program, right? The difference between a non-military versus a military application for, you know, having enrichment capabilities. If they keep going down this road, they will get to a place where we expect them to attack. Because they do not care. They will do anything to get rid of us. Their hatred of us is greater than their interest in self-preservation or their interest in protecting civilians or anything else. And so we are preventing the escalation by preemptively escalating. And so is it an effort to increase widespread warfare, or is it an effort to actually dissuade widespread war? You know, maybe too simplified of an analogy for you, but if the bully is getting ready to hit you and you punch him in the face first, you know, or he's getting ready to shoot you and you stab him first, you know, like that's basically what they would argue is going on here. And listen, for the United States, Marco Rubio basically saying, you know, we're not involved, but we understand. You know, that's where I am, too. I give a lot of latitude to Israel and their foreign policy, especially with regards to Iran, and especially given that ever since the October attack, every moment of Israel's existence has been either at war or concern about the possibility of war. How many times have they been told, oh, yeah, we want peace. Oh, look at this, an invasion. Ah, we beat your invasion. We want peace. Oh, look at this, an invasion. Like, that's the history of Israel. And Iran is, you know, sort of the worst historically. And all of the things that they have been doing in the last few years does not point towards an effort to coexist. Remember, this is a country that, you know, Iran, that doesn't want peaceful coexistence, doesn't recognize Israel, doesn't recognize the right to exist. And that's the context in which all of this, from the river to the sea, Palestine will soon be free, right? All of this pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, anti-Israeli rhetoric, even the chants that you heard, some of which downtown yesterday in Pensacola, it kind of was a weird meld of anti-ICE, anti-cop, pro-immigrant, anti-Trump, pro-Hamas, pro-Palestine. There was some of that thrown in. Like, that rhetoric is vehemently anti-Semitic. You know, the From the River to the Seas chant is not, hey, we'd like the Jews to be happy somewhere, just not this strip of land. You know, From the River to the Sea is from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean, we are going to eradicate their existence. That's the world the Jews live in. You could argue that's the world the Jews have lived in since World War II. You could argue that's the world the Jews have lived in since, you know, couple thousand years, several thousand years. But in any case, that would be their argument. And again, I give a lot of latitude to Israel. They historically, they have done a lot to work with even their enemies, to even bless their enemies. The one example that still always sticks out to me is, you know, they basically were, you know, the Jordanians were the enemy across the Jordan River. And they basically taught Jordan how to farm effectively and use agriculture and, you know, use water resources more effectively. And now Jordan is a prosperous, peaceful, stable, democratic state, friends of Israel. They would gladly have that relationship with, you know, the Saudis, with the Egyptians, with, you know, even with the Iraqis and the Iranians and with the Lebanese, you know, and the Syrians. They would gladly have that relationship with everybody. You know, if only these people would stop hating their existence, recognize them, enter into diplomatic relations, and stop sending proxies into the United States to propagandize, you know, intellectually stunted American students who don't know the difference into chanting things like, from the river to the sea, Palestine will soon be free, right? I mean, that's what they're up against, because America's been a great supporter of Israel through the years. And one of the oddest little historical inversions, and just kind of worth noting, I mean, you probably know most of this, but, you know, so I feel a little bit embarrassed to remind you, but for people who don't, okay, on the one hand, some elements within Christianity historically have been very, very anti-Semitic because they view the Jews as complicit with the Romans in executing Jesus, right? There's this old, you know, you were with them, you were the enemy, okay? But you have this other strain in Christianity historically. And there has been a lot of anti-Semitism within the church, whether the Catholic Church or the, you know, Protestant Church. There's plenty to go around, okay? You know, there's a lot of white supremacists, a lot of anti-Jews who are, you know, call themselves Christians. But there has also been, and most notably in the last century, a vehement support for Israel from particularly the evangelical community within Protestantism, where, like, and the Jews know this in Israel, like, their best, biggest supporters in the United States are Christians who give them money, give them intellectual support, argue on their behalf, pray for them all the time. So, you know, where Christendom stands vis-a-vis Israel, where the United States stands vis-a-vis Israel has been, you know, different over time. But right now, and for quite some time, the pro-Israeli forces are more in control. What's also weird, and again, I just say this because it's stuff a lot of people know cold. It's the stuff that a lot of other people who may not know just don't know, and that's fine. I mean, everybody doesn't know what, you know, they don't know. But weirdly, in America, you have a split among Jews even, right? You're more conservative Jews, okay, either you're Orthodox or you're conservative, are very pro-Israel, what's sometimes called Zionist, okay? That's the idea that, you know, Mount Zion, it's a biblical or neo-biblical mandate to occupy that land for Jews. They're very pro-Israel. Okay. On the other hand, you have a lot of Jews in America, not with typically within the conservative or Orthodox communities, but you have Reform Jews, the more liberal Jews, who really they're on the side of the Palestinians. They're not necessarily anti-Israel per se, but they wind up taking positions politically that are very critical of other Jews, which, you know, philosophically, politically, that's always an allowable thing of sorts. But it's a weird schism because you would think, well, Jews would be pro-Israel. Not necessarily. Much like you might have thought historically, well, Christians would be anti-Israel. Oh, no, most definitely not. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, speaking of the aforementioned protest downtown, John, did you happen to see any of the video or any of the...
No, I haven't yet.
I said a couple hundred downtown yesterday. People
wow, really?
Marching on Palafox, chanting their chants, you know, banging their drums, holding up their profanity on the, you know, various things of inappropriate behavior towards ICE, for example, or Trump or DeSantis or whatever. And, you know, they had some chance. We'll get into their chants a little bit later on. But, you know, they some of them were better than others.
Power to the people.
Power to the people.
No human is illegal.
And you know, one of the ones is kind of boring.
No justice, no peace.
No justice, no peace.
And then you got to come up with things that rhyme with peace, right? You know, so.
Keep ice off our streets.
There you go.
Oh.
Sort of a poetic rhyme. It's not quite a strict literal rhyme, but it's a little bit more poetic. To Trump and DeSantis.
Donald Trump, let's be clear. Immigrants are welcome here.
Okay, clear in here. Donald Trump, let's be clear, immigrants are welcome here.
Okay.
Ron DeSantis, let's be clear, immigrants are welcome here. That one's got a little bit better syncopation, you know, better rhyme, better rhythm scheme. I like the Ron DeSantis one. It's got more syllables. You've got, well, this is what I was talking about before, the Palestinian one kind of got melded into all of this.
Palestine to Mexico!
Palestine.
Is Mexico and Mexico, are they the same, Mexico, similar, or different? Is that the preferred pronunciation? I thought it was interesting that they got all of the protesters to say Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Along with them, which
Mexico.
I thought was, you know. So now it was the Gulf of Mexico?
Mexico.
Is that what they said?
Yes.
Until, well, I don't know, anyway, here.
Palestine to Mexico.
Palestine to Mexico.
The border walls have got to go.
The border walls have got to go.
Yeah, no border walls. Why is there a border wall in Israel? Why do they have a wall around Jerusalem? Anybody? Anybody? Realer? Anyway. Terrorist attacks. Because, you know, when you send somebody in with an S vest and blow up a cafe and kill Jews, they're going to stop that. So they built a wall between the West Bank territory that they oversee and administer, which is full of Palestinians on the west side of the Jordan River, but on the east side of the geography here. Anyway, the east of Palestine, east of Jerusalem. So they built a wall, a nice big concrete wall to keep out the terrorists, the PLO. And guess what? It worked, because walls work. You know, so the wall wasn't built to keep out just Arabs or Palestinians or West Bankians. It was built to stop terrorism. So I don't know what part of the, you want the wall to come down so we can revert to bus bombings and suicide vests and cafes getting destroyed. I mean, just kind of a weird claim. Two last ones real quick. This one, so I thought the Palestine one was interesting. I told you it's all thrown in together. I mean, if you're protesting one thing, might as well protest everything. This one was, I didn't hear this a lot, but I did hear this at one part. Well, I mean, it's a 4-for-1, right? You know.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
If you're going to spend the money, get as much as you can, right?
True.
You know, plus, I mean, it gets boring to say the same thing over and over again. It's hard to keep the crowd worked up when they keep repeating themselves.
No ice
or police. Oh, now you didn't hear that one a lot. They switched over to no ice on our streets, but no ice or police. Okay. Okay, no ICE or police. By the way, why do they hate immigration and customs enforcement? Well, because they believe in open borders. Because, you know, they don't believe that you should have to pay an import tariff on your Canadian whiskey, I guess. I don't know. You know, that's customs enforcement. Okay. I did think that probably the best chant of the day did not come from the protesters, though. Now, I couldn't tell for sure whether he was drowning them out or enhancing them. I think they weren't sure either, but I felt like maybe that was more him trying to out-chant them.
Yes.
Not a particularly verbal chant. No, also illegal.
Oh, that's right.
It's illegal.
I know.
But it was perhaps the most intelligent chant of the day. 524 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aid.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You know what I think the most important thing in life is? It's love. You want to know what I love?
Beer, Norm?
Yeah, have a quick one.
Yeah, I'll pick one. 527, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, by the way, I should say this just because, you know, it's always important to remind people because they're going, oh, that Andrew doesn't believe in, you know, people protesting. Oh, no, I think it's beautiful. I have no problem with the protests in Pensacola yesterday. Yeah, I mean, I have criticisms, but no criticism of the right to do it. I like to see people who are engaged. I like to see people who are, you know, monosyllabic chanting. I mean, that's fine. Everybody's got a right to express their view. That's America. That's democracy. That's no problem. And I would, listen, if let's imagine some hypothetical scenario in which, God, I hate to say organizational names, but, you know, let's imagine some mayor of Pensacola told PPD to go shut down the protest. Oh, I would be out there with them protesting the police. Andrew, you'd protest? Yeah. You can't shut down a peaceful protest. But they know better, and they wouldn't do that. In fact, you know, it's interesting. Over the years, having talked to my law enforcement friends, you know, they know that. Their job in a situation like that is to protect people's right to protest, of course. You know, you don't have the right to impede traffic. You don't have the right to be violent. You don't have the right to damage. But they weren't doing any of that yesterday. Absolutely. 100%. They have a right to do, say, express everything they were doing. No problem. In fact, even though I disagree pretty fundamentally with almost everything they stand for, there are some things we have common ground on, I completely support their right to do it, as you should. Just like you hope they would support you if you want to, you know, protest abortion or protest some unjust action by a Democrat administration or, you know, somebody tries to shut down homeschools, you know, whatever the case may be. 528 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. All of the tension in the Middle East today taking a hit on the markets. Stock futures dropped right after Israel launched strikes on Iran yesterday. As of latest check, Dow futures were down over 500 points.
Not all stocks. Petroleum futures have gone up.
Well, that's true. That's true. Big oil loves this stuff. California Democrat Senator Alex Padilla says it's alarming that he was forcibly removed from Homeland Security Chief Kristi Noem's press event yesterday in Los Angeles.
There was no threat. There was no lunging. I raised my voice to ask a question, and it took, what, maybe half a second before multiple agents were on me.
And if you saw the video, Padilla was forced to the ground and handcuffed. Noem said he was creating a political theater and lunged towards the podium as she was speaking. But later, she said she did have a cordial 15-minute conversation with him after the incident.
If the lunge don't fit, you must acquit. No? Okay. All right.
That's
go
good,
on.
Good use of that defense. I like that. Yeah. The U.S. Supreme Court stepping in to revive a Georgia family's lawsuit over a botched FBI raid. Trina Martin sued after federal agents raided the wrong Atlanta home in 2017, accused them of assault and false arrest. Lower courts threw out the case, but the Supreme Court unanimously says it deserves another look. The case will head back to a lower court for a fresh review.
Very good. And, of course, we're doing the National Guard hokey pokey right now. You know, Trump sends him in. One judge says, you can't do that. You've got to go through the governor, and he doesn't want you. And then the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals reverse or stays that injunction. So who is in charge of the National Guard? Well, Trump for now.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Papa. Israel attacks Iran, the goal destroying its nuclear program.
We struck at the heart of Iran's nuclear weaponization program. We targeted Iran's main enrichment facility in Natanz. We targeted Iran's leading nuclear scientists working on the Iranian bomb.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, President Trump on Truth Social, saying he told Iran to make a deal, but no matter how hard they tried or close they got, they couldn't get it done. Fox's Alex Hogan in Tel Aviv.
Giving you a look at really what life is like here today. Much of Israel's come to a standstill, and that schools are closed, most businesses are closed, as the government is also warning that this is not over yet.
Iran's supreme leader warns of severe punishment. An appeals court temporarily blocks a federal judge's ruling that returns control of the National Guard to California, setting a hearing for next Tuesday. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is 79 degrees right now. We've got cloudy skies this morning. A touring helicopter with four people on board crashed yesterday at the Destin Executive Airport. Luckily, all of the passengers survived without serious injury. The crash happened about 7:45 p.m. at the runway. All four passengers were taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Well, anti-ICE protests have broken out across the nation this week. Yesterday, protesters took to the streets in Pensacola. Channel 3 reports hundreds of protesters marched downtown on Thursday evening. Protesters want ICE to be abolished and illegal immigrants granted asylum. Organizers say the protests will continue throughout the weekend. Search crews are looking for a missing 10-year-old that was last seen swimming in Destin. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office says Trinity Eslinger was last seen in the water between Austin Beach and Noriego Point last night about 7:40 p.m. Multiple agencies have crews out looking for the girl. Should Pensacola keep e-scooters downtown? That's the question city officials are asking as the three-year contract with VO is coming up for renewal this fall.
That contract does come up at some point this fall, and I had a call with them last week, and so that conversation will continue. A decision doesn't need to be made next week or even next month necessarily, but we are getting to the end of this three-year contract that started before me, and we got to see what the right situation is with VO.
Mayor D.C. Reeves there. The city is gathering data and taking feedback from residents about the scooters. They'll have to decide whether they want to try to renew the contract or not. There have been some concerns with the e-scooter program in the city. Officials say it's being used recreationally more often than as a source of transportation. There's also been some concerns with the GPS technology that's supposed to keep that's supposed to geo-lock those scooters out of certain areas downtown. They say it doesn't always work. Officials say kids have been riding the scooters as well, despite an age restriction that's supposed to only allow adults to rent them. An Escambia County jury acquitted 22-year-old Nathaniel Cunningham Jr. on second-degree murder charges yesterday. Cunningham faced charges related to the 2023 shooting of 32-year-old Angel Bailey on Mission Road. The jury's decision came just hours after a two-day trial. The incident reportedly stemmed from an argument over a stolen cell phone. Evidence reportedly placed Cunningham's phone near the scene, but there was no DNA or fingerprints linking him to the shooting. He'd faced a potential life sentence if convicted. Well, good news for Baptist Healthcare. They've been recognized by Newsweek and Plant A Insights Group as one of this year's greatest workplaces in healthcare. And that recognition reflects Baptist's commitment to a supportive and engaged workplace culture. The award, based on employee interviews, company reviews, and an analysis of over 120 performance indicators, Baptist is one of the region's largest non-governmental employers with over 4,500 team members. For more information on the award, or if you want to look for a job at Baptist, check out their website at ebaptisthealthcare.org. 535 at News Radio, 92.3, 79 right now, and cloudy in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, 75 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. Now getting a look at our market report from our friends at Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Google's cloud services were down for a period of time yesterday, along with a number of other cloud offerings. A status page from Google said, "We are experiencing service issues with multiple GCP products. Google, OpenAI, and Spotify were all affected by the technology outage." CNBC reports Scale AI plans to promote Jason Droege, the company's strategy chief, to run the artificial intelligence startup. Meta is finalizing a $14 billion investment into Scale AI. As part of the deal, founder and CEO Alexander Wang will reportedly be leading a new AI research lab at Meta. Customs data says nearly all iPhones exported to Foxconn from India went to the United States between March and May, which is far above the 2024 average of 50% and a clear sign of Apple's efforts to bypass high U.S. tariffs imposed on China. During March to May, Foxconn exported iPhones worth $3.2 billion from India, with an average 97% shipped to the U.S. Futures are sharply lower. That's Your Money Now.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Summer's here, and it's the perfect time to tackle those DIY projects. At the Pensacola Habitat Restore, you'll find unbeatable deals on furniture, home goods, tools, and more. Whether you're upcycling, redecorating, or just hunting for that perfect piece, they've got what you need at prices that won't break the bank. Plus, every purchase helps build affordable homes right here in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Swing by the Restore Tuesday through Saturday at 9th Avenue and Creighton Road, and let your summer project begin.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone.
In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
What you gonna do when Chevy John Brown come for you?
can we also have a policy that if you're driving on one of those streets and a mob comes and surrounds your vehicle and threatens you, you have a right to flee for your safety? And so if you drive off and you hit one of these people, that's their fault for impinging on you. You don't have to sit there and just be a sitting duck and let the mob grab you out of your car and drag you through the streets. You have a right to defend yourself in Florida.
Yeah, Governor DeSantis yesterday talking during a podcast with somebody about this issue of what can you do if you find yourself in a car surrounded by a mob or in a car with a freeway shut down like has happened in L.A. And, of course, we've had situations like this across the country, not as much in Florida, but I remember the George Floyd protests and even here in Pensacola where it was very tame by most standards. I think I can play this for you and it'll come across, but I remember a certain call to 911.
My car and refuses to get off, and I won't want to stop for my safety, but I'm going very slow, but I'm not going to stop because he's beating on my windshield.
Remember this guy driving across 3 Mile Bridge with a protester on his hood because he drove through the line? Joining us now, we have Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. So let's just, maybe for clarification's sake, because my opinion is that if somebody's kidnapping me in my car by standing in front of me, they're impeding traffic. They're clearly committing at least a misdemeanor. But if they're menacing or threatening me, hey, if I'd be justified in using physical force, I'm justified in using car force. That seems to be what the governor is saying. Is that accurate?
Well, you have to be careful because there's a fine line there. If somebody, let's go to a parking spot, somebody's saving a parking spot, and you pull in and they won't move out of that spot. They're not threatening you. They're just holding the spot. No, you cannot run over them. Same thing in a mob. If somebody is surrounding your vehicle, they're not touching it, they're not going for the door handles, they're not throwing rocks at it, there's a slippery slope there. You got to be careful. But if they start pulling on those door handles, they start beating the windshield, throwing rocks, and you feel in fear for your safety and those of your family or whoever else is in the car, then what the governor says does apply.
So I totally in the latter example, but if people are impeding my motion, like say I'm on the street and a crowd surrounds me and tries to, you know, impede me from leaving, I'm justified in using force to escape, right?
Again, that's a decision you're going to have to make. If they are actively trying to hurt you or damage your vehicle, make you fear for your safety, then yes. But if they're just blocking the road, then this is a situation where you need to stay in the vehicle, get on the phone and call 911 and get us headed that way. We should probably already headed that way anyway. But it's a personal decision that you have to make and that you have to be able to justify.
And you certainly have to be able to articulate a reasonable fear to your safety or your life or your limb. But, you know, I can imagine circumstances where you probably wind up catching a charge for it, and I can imagine circumstances where you definitely should not. Is that a fair way to say it?
Absolutely. If you fear for your safety and you're able to articulate that, that's what we're looking for. But we're also, we have to look for people who are going down there. They may be in opposition and they may be driving down there on purpose and want somebody to get in front of their car mm-hmm. and then accelerate and hit them. So this is where you have, there's a fine line in there and every situation is going to be dealt with and looked at very closely.
I just know, like, if I think about my wife being in her minivan caught in the middle of some protest, you know, and I'm basically, my advice to her is if you feel scared, you get out. If somebody's in your way, that's their problem, which seems to be what the governor is saying.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If she fears for her safety, if she is scared, that's different. But if they're, again, they're 20 or 30 feet from the car, they're blocking the roadway, they're not approaching the car, then that could be a different situation.
Got it. You can't just make a path, but you
right.
You can escape, but you can't, you know, attack, essentially, which is, you know, in so many of the things that we talk about, that's a fine distinction, but it's an important one in the law. I did want to, since we're kind of in this conversation about, you know, response to protests, response to riots, I had talked yesterday about, I'd seen these, the pepperball guns, and they looked to me like paintball guns. And that's because that's the closest shape that I know of. And, you know, I've only played paintball a few times. I find it too painful, quite frankly. I'd rather play airsoft. And it makes you dirty and all the other stuff. But it got me thinking that if you're looking for less lethal or non-lethal crowd control, it seems like paintball is actually not a terrible idea. You know, if somebody gets hit 4 or 5 times with a paintball, they're going to be discouraged. Plus, if you have people then identifying the criminals, right? If you have a couple of different officers with a couple of different colors, you know, you get tagged by, you know, purple, pink, and green, that's a guy who needs to be arrested. Is that, that's not something I've ever seen police actually use, though. Am I wrong? Is this not a functional solution?
We might use them or similar weapons or items like that for training purposes, but paintball guns are not effective crowd control. They do hurt. They do get your attention, but not like beanbag guns and things like that that are meant to cause pain to disperse crowds. But so that's not something that law enforcement generally uses, paintball guns. They will use these weapons that fire pepper balls, and those are effective.
Okay, so the problem with the paintball gun is it's just not enough for most situations.
Yeah, and you're talking about, you were speaking about an officer. One officer has blue, another one has green, another one has red. Well, that's fine, but once, you know, you get somebody that's, you've taken them into custody because he's got red on him, you know, an officer fired it. Well, what are you charging him with? What did that officer see? There's just a lot of problems with that, trying to color code different offenses. So that's not something that we do.
you make me think of, like, you know, the red guy's there for the for the destruction of property, and the blue color there is for if you attack somebody. You know, I'm just joking in there. But last Thursday on in the vicinity of Creighton and Scenic Highway, there was a closure of a road. There was a gun and a house and a wanted individual. What happened here?
Well, you know, it's Monday evening. I'm sorry, you got that right. It was on Creighton and near Forest Glen. We had a domestic violence call come out where we believe there was an armed man inside a home. He retreated in the home once officers got there and then refused to come out. And then we found out later that he wasn't refusing to come out. He left out the back door and was trying to hide in the neighborhood. Officers put the canine on the ground and was able to find him very quickly and take him into custody without further incident.
Okay, well, that's a good outcome. I'll take that outcome. You also have, and this is weirdly a good note on a horrible incident, but you and I talked last week about Pensacola Village. You'd had a shooting, a stabbing, and an actual homicide with a gun, but you now have, not you, but, you know, FDLE has made an arrest of that suspect?
Well, it was the marshals that got a hold of him in Tallahassee, and again, another arrest without incident. So he was fleeing, actively fleeing law enforcement, and they were able to catch up with him in Tallahassee yesterday and make that arrest.
Well, that's good. Good cooperation between agencies, and a reminder that, you know, just because somebody gets out of Escambia County or out of the city doesn't mean that they're free and clear, right?
No. We have an incredible partnership with lots of agencies, including the marshals, who are ready to help us out at any moment and have done so many times in the past.
Very good. We always like to end. Did I miss anything? Anything else happened? It seems like it's been, and you know, I know you hate the word quiet, but it's been relatively quiet other than the follow-up to an incident and the one incident last week.
Yeah, I use the word uneventful. Instead of the Q word. So I get all kinds of grief from those that I work with when I use the Q word. So I try to stay away from that.
It's been
very active the past couple of weeks, and finally we have a week here that's there's not a lot going on.
You're not telling me police are superstitious ever, are you, at all?
No.
We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
Yeah, this is one where the myth is that as long as you have one taillight or one brake light working, you're in good shape. And that's not true in the state of Florida, that you must have two working taillights, two working brake lights, and the license plate bulbs or illumination must be working. Officers typically will get in behind a vehicle, and if there's a violation, stop them, let them know, give them a warning, because a lot of times it's simply hard to walk around your car and see if the brake lights are working. You can put on the hazards and check that way, but there are some cars that have different brake and turn signal lights, so that won't work. So it's kind of difficult to know if you have a brake light out or not.
Okay.
But the officers will stop you and issue a warning on something like that. But you do have to have two of them functioning at all times, as well as the license plate light.
What about the other end of the car, the pedital, the headlight, that one headlight out? Is that legal, illegal?
Now you have to have both headlights working as well.
Okay, I figured, but I just wanted to double check. And then just because we're in this vicinity, and I know it sometimes applies to us because we carry bikes on the back of the car, what is the law on obscuring your license plate? Like with, for example, you know, you got bikes in a bike rack. It's hard to see the license plate. How does that work?
You're supposed to be able to see the license plate. You know, they make mounts that will go on the backs of those racks. A lot of times you see the scooters that are meant for folks that can't get around very well. And,
right.
and those mounts on the backs of the cars clearly have license plate mounts on them. That is a reason that you could be stopped, but we understand, too, that this is a temporary transport-type situation. We can see the license plate. We can see the decal. We might not be able to read it all the way, but technically that is a violation, but it's not generally something you're going to receive a ticket for.
But duct tape over my license plate, that's probably going to catch a pullover, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's going to get our attention in a negative way. So if you do something like that, or if you put that dark tent over it,
right.
you're kind of asking for it at that point.
Just because we're in this vicinity, the camera reader obscuring devices, the ones that put like a prism in front, like you're talking about having the darkened glass or whatever, I don't even know. I don't have one. I've always thought they were silly. But, you know, is that illegal in Florida?
Yeah, you can't. Nothing can obscure the license plate.
Got it.
And it doesn't matter what the device is or what the material is. We have to be able to read it and the cameras as well. And any attempt to stop that is a violation.
Excellent. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thank you for correcting me on what I was misguided about in terms of crowd control. I appreciate that. And we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for the time.
Hey, no problem. The paintballs do hurt, just not effective for crowd control.
No kidding, they hurt. Thanks so much. I would rather all day get shot with airsoft pellets, airsoft BBs, than get shot with a paintball gun. They're awful. Anyway, and by the way, what's the point of talking to experts if you can't change your view based on what the experts tell you? I mean, you know, if the sheriff tells me this doesn't work, then it doesn't work. You know, that's good enough for me. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are really good at this. They sold 175 homes the year before last, 165 homes last year, over 200 homes when times were hot a couple of years ago. But, you know, that was the time when you could basically start, you know, hammering in a sign in somebody's, you know, front yard. Hey, home for sale. And you'd get like three offers from drive-by people. Like, you know, it was really. But look, at those times, good to have a realtor to maximize your profits, but also, and know what you need to bid to win if you're trying to buy, because that was a complicated thing. But when times are a little bit more scarce, a little bit more lean, even more important to have a good real estate agent, because, you know, having a good one who's going to really work their tail off for you is the difference between getting maybe no bids, you know, no offers, maybe getting one, and then you have to decide whether that's the right one, or getting even just a couple is much better than getting one. Well, Christina Leavenworth and her team, they know how to do things to maximize the chances of getting a couple or more than a couple. That's what they do. 786-3996 from photographing, staging, setting up the, even if it's things like paint and landscape, fixing things at the last minute just to make sure the deal gets done. Like, they just do all the stuff right. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Gun show this weekend in Pensacola. Hundreds of guns, knives, ammo, coins, and more. This is a buy-sell trade event. Private sales and sellers welcome. Brand new event located at the Haji Shrine Temple at 800 West 9 Mile Road, Saturday 9 to 4 and Sunday 10 to 3. Admission $10 per person. Kids under 14 are free. Free. Discounts for law enforcement, military, firefighters, and first responders. For more information, USAGunShowsFL.com.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
You're not going to want to miss tonight's County Fair. I'm going
to
be...
We are your window to your community.
Did you see the last 5 minutes of that football game last night?
Oh, man, I saw the whole thing.
And a lifeline to keep you safe when danger is near.
Everybody who is listening needs to take cover as soon as they can. This is one of the biggest storms.
We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress you depend on your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I will do what I must.
You will try.
Good morning, 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Man, we have a lot of stuff going on this morning. Let's start with David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Andrew, there's reports that the commander-in-chief of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps has been killed in the Israeli attack.
Iranian state media reports General Hossein Salami was killed in an overnight strike, along with another IRGC general and multiple nuclear scientists. Israel said in a statement it launched a preemptive offensive against military and nuclear sites inside Iran. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the operation will continue for as many days as it takes to remove the threat, while Israel's defense minister announced the country expects a retaliatory strike and a state of emergency has been declared. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says there was no U.S. involvement in the strikes against Iran. I'm Mark Mayfield.
And I'm sorry. It sounded like you were getting ready to say something.
No, I was just going to say, if you could go back in history and launch a missile attack against North Korea's nuclear capabilities before they actually had a functioning nuclear weapon, would you do it? I would. But just a thought, you know, because that's where we're at. You know, Iran is the future North Korea. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Well, President Trump says he's calling a meeting of the National Security Council today after that military strike against Iran yesterday. A federal appeals court is letting President Trump keep control of California's National Guard, at least for now. This after a federal judge yesterday issued a ruling halting the Trump administration's deployment of military troops in Los Angeles. So as you called it, the National Guard hokey pokey.
Yeah. You put the National Guard in, you put the National Guard out, you put the National Guard in, and you call the Ninth Circuit, the Court of Appeals. I don't have good lyrics for this, but yeah.
It's a work in progress.
Barely.
We need to work on your chants there.
Fair enough. No, fair. If I'm going to criticize their chants, they can criticize my song lyrics. You're right.
We'll just run it through AI.
Oh, my God. Okay, I don't know if we have time to get into all this, but it is one of the most interesting stories of the week. It's completely off the radar for most people. Did you see the story about how Ohio State University is now requiring AI as part of their basic curriculum?
Yes,
and they're not the only university doing this. The universities are put in this impossible position, right? Everybody coming from junior high and high school uses AI.
Oh, yes, they do.
They absolutely use it. If you think they're not, you know, it's like you think they're not looking at porn on their phones. Mm. You think they're not using AI for their assignments? Mm, you're naive. They absolutely are, okay? And so Ohio State has basically taken the position, as I understand it, A, they already are using it. We might as well manage it. B, honestly, for the future, people are going to need to know how to use it effectively to supplement or amplify whatever they are doing. It's pointless for us, C, to fight this. Let's teach it. Let's cultivate it. And, oh, my God, I just feel free to weigh in, 437-1620, but I am so against this, even though I understand. It feels like we're stealing humanity from humanity. Because if kids, especially at the college level, as long as they already know how to think and explain themselves and write, which as a former college teacher, I will tell you they don't yet. that's why the college, liberal arts and sciences is not there because people are already well-developed human beings. It's there because they have the capability to become well-developed human beings. And we're trying to bring that out of them. And using AI is not bringing that out of them. It is alleviating the need to bring that out of them. Because the ability to digest ideas, comprehend, and synthesize and express is like, I think of a future time in which, hey, AI, write me a good love note for my fiance. You know, like, can people not just learn how to write some poetry to express and manage their emotions as poetry has historically done? You're going to have songs written by AI. I'm sure they already are. It's disturbing the level to which we are just granting away what I think of as core humanity. Now, the argument on the other side goes something like this. Well, Andrew, you know, there was a time when hunting for your food was considered a core aspect of humanity, where knowing how to start a fire and roast meat on the spit outside was, you know, and like all of the things that my ancestors, even as recently as 100 years ago, knew how to do, build a house from scratch with their own hands, or, you know, grow wheat that I don't know how to do. That was thought to be essential human endeavor. Nowadays, it's either done by somebody else or done by technology or a combination of the two. So how sure are we that this is core human behavior that 50 years from now we won't look back on and say, do you remember when people thought that learning language was important?
Do you remember when Andrew said...
I know. So
we'll have to replay the clip for you.
Because I know for me, expression and language and ideas and all of these things is at the core of what I think of I am.
That's who you are.
That is who I am. And AI and using AI and teaching people to supplement their creativity with AI is like saying, I'll be as personal as you want, Andrew doesn't matter. That's how it feels to me.
You matter to me.
Oh, thank you. And saying to all of these students, you and your humanity does not matter. We can do it better with the machines. The same machines that may or may not be running the remotely operated / autonomous warships with the missiles and the surface fleet drone swarm that only Whopper could dream of controlling.